Cue music.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Young people, there's nothing wrong with dancing for Jesus. But we can't forget where we come from. So if you don't mind, let's have a little church right now.
Something about that name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
Listen.
Something about the name Jesus.
Something about the name Jesus.
Something about the name Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Yes, God. It is the
and lift your hands and say it with me.
It is the sweetest name.
Thank you, Jesus.
I know.
Listen to this right here.
Some people say I'm crazy, but to me, I can't explain.
No, no.
The power that I feel, oh, when I call your name.
When I call your name.
That is just mine.
Oh,
listening to the Spirit Alive Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everyone. I'm Bishop Shalene Cook, and for the last 15 years, I have been blessed to serve you as your modern Shulamite woman by being the owner and the executive producer of the Spirit Alive Network. And on tonight, hallelujah, it gives me so much joy to be able to present to you another dynamic Bible study led by none other than my dear sister and friend, Dr. Susan Beavers. Now, this beautiful sister is the founding and senior pastor of Your Place Christian Church. She is a woman of God who truly loves the Lord, and she works tirelessly, hallelujah, to spread the gospel. And on tonight, it blesses me to present to some and introduce to others my dear sister, your host and your facilitator, Dr. Susie. Amen.
Welcome to Your Place Love Connection Bible Study. This is your place of prayer, love, acceptance, and compassion. We're so excited to have you with us this Monday as we start our new show. And the show tonight is going to be one that's very, very exciting. We have some really important people with us tonight, and we're always thoroughly excited to express and to share God's word with you. As we start tonight, on this January 10th, we're going to be talking about how to be secure in this new year. And as we are here, we've got some special guests with us that we'll introduce in a few minutes. But it's Pastor Brian Barmer. And so we're so glad to have Pastor with us, and hopefully he'll speak up in a few minutes. But in order to begin our Bible study, we always start off with prayer. And after prayer, we're going to have the scripture. And after the scripture, we'll have an intercessory prayer. Then we'll begin our Bible study. So would you bow your heads with me? Oh, most righteous Heavenly God, we come before you and just ask that anything that is not of you, that is trying to intercede and be a part of inhibiting the work that we're trying to do tonight, would be banished to the pit of hell, never to return. We are trusting, oh God, that you would keep the enemy at bay, as you promised us that no weapon formed against us will prosper. And we move forward in our study tonight because, Lord, we are sharing the word of God so that people will have life and have it more abundantly, that we'll be able to operate in a newness of life and in the understanding of your word. So as we go forward learning tonight about how to be secure in this new year, we ask that you continue to empower us as we go along the way. We thank you for Spirit Alive Network and all those that are involved. We ask this blessing in Jesus' mighty name. Let us all say, amen.
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 Amen. Amen. So as we start tonight, we'd like to have Miss Margaret, if you would read our scripture.
Yes. Psalm 91, verses 9 through 12. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home. For he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. The word of the Lord for the people of God.
Amen.
Amen.
So can you put your phones on mute? I want to do a little bit of etiquette for the studio. If anybody who would like to participate with us tonight, we're so glad to have you with us. But if you're not speaking, if you put your phone on mute so that we don't have the background noise in the studio, and then when you get ready to talk, please don't forget to take your mics off of mute and take them so we can hear you. But right now we're hearing some background noise, So if you would please put your phones on mute. Thank you so much. Now it's time for intercessory prayer.
Amen. If we have any prayer requests, could you please make them known right now so we can go before the Lord, stand in the gap for you?
This is Dr. Susie. I want to lift up my veterans at the VA, as well as myself and my family, regarding finances, health, safety, spirituality. Is there anybody else? You have to get off mute.
This is Margaret. I wanted to ask for prayer for my mother. She had that injury, the wound on her leg. It had healed almost to closed up completely, and she re-injured it yesterday. So I'm just asking that the Lord would give her another healing touch and help keep her out of harm's way.
I'm going to ask that you all stand with me in prayer for my sister, Rolanda, who suspects that she might be infected with this horrible virus. And anybody that's impacted by this virus, we're standing in the gap for them as well. Amen?
Amen.
Edith from Oakland. I'd like to ask prayer for myself.
Are there any more prayer requests?
Edith is talking.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer.
Bishop.
Father,
can you hear me?
Great.
Hello.
You are awesome. You're worthy of our praise. You're worthy of our adoration. We are worthy of our worship. Lord, we exalt you. We extol you. We magnify you. We bless your holy name. Thank you, Lord, for saving us. Thank you, Lord, for keeping us. Thank you, Lord, for taking us from glory to glory. Lord, there's nothing too hard for you. We bless your holy name. Wonderful is your name. Worthy is your name. Powerful is your name. Majestic is your name. God, we bless you. We glorify you. We honor you. We adore you. We thank you, Father God, for who you are in our lives. You are able to do exceeding abundantly above that which we can ask or think, Father God. Lord, we pray for Edith right now in the name of Jesus. Whatever that is that she's standing in need of, I pray, Father God, that you would touch Edith right now in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Meet the need, Father God, in Jesus' mighty name. Father, we glorify you and bless you, Lord, for our leader and our facilitator, Dr. Susie, for the people that she ministers to day in, day out, Father God, that she sows her heart, her seed, her emotions, Father God, her very spirit and soul into those veterans, God. And Father, we just lift up those veterans for whatever infirmity they may have, whatever struggle they may have. Father God, we pray that you would strengthen them, heal them, deliver them, set them free, Father God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, you're able to do exceeding abundantly above that which we can ask or think, Lord. You are El Shaddai, you're Elohim, you're Jehovah Nissi, you're Jehovah Yireh. Lord, we thank you for who you are in our lives in Jesus' name. Father God, we lift up the church in America, God, that you would bring unity to the body of Christ, God. Lord, we are standing in need of revival in this land, God. We only not only need revival in this land, but we need revival all over the world, Father God. Let the firestorms of revival begin, Father God, in Jesus' name. Lord, we call the backslider home, God. We thank you, Father, for a harvest of souls, God. In Jesus' mighty name, we thank you that the backslider will come home. Lord, we lift up the persecuted church that is going up, that is around the world, Father. We pray, Lord, that you would protect those leaders, God. And Lord, I pray that you would just raise up leaders, raise up the people that would not be ashamed of the gospel because they know it is the power of God unto salvation. We bind every counterfeit spirit, God.
in the name of Jesus. We come against the spirit of timidity in the name of Jesus. We bind every Jezebel spirit, every Ahab spirit in Jesus' name. Father God, we pray that you would heal the wounded soldiers that have been on the battle for so long, that have been on the battlefield for you for so long, God. Some of them have been wounded in this war. But, God, I thank you that you're able to do exceeding abundantly above that which we can ask or think. God, bring them back to that place that they first started and restore them, heal them, feed them, nourish them. We thank you, Lord, that you love them, oh, God. Now, God, we lift up every burnt-out Christian, every burnt-out preacher, every burnt-out apostle, bishop, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. They've been wounded. They've been hurt. We pray that you would set them free by your power and your grace and your love. Restore them. Restore them, we pray. In the matchless, mighty name of Jesus Christ, we bless you and we glorify you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, and everybody said together, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, as we go on into the show, our topic this week is how to be secure in 2022. It's a time of year that we traditionally, for looking back at the previous year or looking forward to the year ahead. So as we've begun to examine security challenges for 2022, we have our first guest on the show. He's Senior Pastor Brian Barmer at Bright Hope Community Church out of San Diego, California. And Bishop Michael Snyder from Tulsa, Oklahoma will do the honor of introducing him, Bishop.
Thank you, Dr. Susie. I'm presenting to you a man of God. Served in the United States Marine Corps, and after he was discharged honorably from serving his country, he joined the police force in San Diego County, where he became a SWAT team officer. One of the citations that I read at his beautiful home in San Diego was where Pastor Barmer, Officer Barmer, had saved the life of a baby, an infant that was suffocating. The baby was dying, and Pastor Barmer, Officer Barmer, breathed life into this baby's lungs. God used him, and that baby lived, and we thank God for him. But I am the godfather of his daughter, my wonderful, lovely goddaughter, Brianna. I am a friend to his lovely wife and his son. I call him my nephew. We are family. This man is a man of God who loves God and has served on security force in the Marines as well as the San Diego Police Department. And Pastor Barmer, I love you, and thank you for your service to our country and to the people of San Diego and now to the people of God. I love you, brother. Welcome to the program.
Pastor Barmer, are you there?
Brian, are you
Hello?
With you? There
Hello?
You go, brother. Hello.
Oh.
We hear you.
Well, thank you, Bishop Snoddy and Sister Dr. Susie. Thank you so much for having me on. It is a pleasure for me, and I'm greatly honored to be a part of your programming tonight. And thank you for the wonderful prayer, the intercessory prayer, and for the scripture reading. God bless you guys. You guys. Good evening to everyone.
Awesome, awesome. We are so glad to have you with us tonight. And there's so many security issues that could plague us in this year. So we're looking at things in our country like document retention policies, insurance issues like cyber insurance, or looking at ransomware and how it can be a problem, or software attacks, the theft of intellectual property, phishing, identity theft, information extortion, weak passwords, looking at supply chain issues, firmware, hardware services, the problem with the supply chain, all of those issues along with multi-factor authentication, international data privacy, telework, remote access problems, staff shortages, security awareness, the great financial reset, cyber criminals. I mean, we got a list. Does anybody else have anything that they would like to add to the list? Because I'm going to write it down, and if we get time, we'll address some of the major ones. But let's get them out so we can just find out some of the issues that people think might plague us in 2022.
The tunnels from Tijuana to San Diego.
The tunnel from Tijuana to San Diego. Okay.
Tunnels, plural. Plural.
Yeah, those are a problem. Not only
is anyone
Dr.
you don't have to address them yet. Let me just write them all down. Let me write them all down, then you can get to them. So anybody else have any suggestions or things we can talk about? We just want to put some stuff on the table so we can get ideas. Anybody that, you know, we do want to have dialogue as we do on our normal show. So what are some of the things that each of you are thinking? Now, you do have to come off mute. So, Margaret, do you have a few things that you're thinking about, challenges for 2022?
Well, just surviving through the year for many of us and our loved ones, to survive through this year, to live if the Lord would let us and if it would be his will during difficult times of illness.
Okay. So as it relates to security, what are some other things that we'd like to look at as well for 2022? Survival, what else? Tunnels from Tijuana to San Diego, tunnels with an S. Anybody else have some other things that they would like to add? Is anybody else in the house? You have to mute.
How about me?
Okay.
Families?
I'm sorry, what did you say, Ms. Edith?
How about families, unsaved loved ones, et cetera?
Okay. Families and their salvation, unsaved loved ones?
Yes. Right.
Okay. So, okay. So you're talking about security as far as salvation. All right. Is there anybody else who wanted to offer a few things? Thought I heard Pastor Lester Carver in the show, in the audience. All right, then. So we can start addressing some of the issues that we have on the table. So, Pastor Barmer, I'll list a few things and just to kind of refresh your memory about different things we can all talk about. We talked about the tunnels from Tijuana to San Diego. Salvation for the unsaved. We talked about insurance, cyber insurance. We talked about ransomware. We've talked about supply chain challenges, software attacks, theft of intellectual property, phishing attacks, identity theft, information extortion, weak passwords, multi-factor authentication, international data privacy problems, telework, remote access, in the sense that we got all these different hackers that create these opportunities, the more we become physically disconnected from the person and the data. Staff shortages, you know, is as far as security people are concerned. Security awareness, and maybe you could save that one toward the end because I think that's a really important one. The great financial reset, how they're talking about the changes in how to perceive that type of security and how we need to get to know our neighbor and maybe build contingency plans with each other. But the idea of demanding these compliance mandates, we've got all sorts of challenges, our borders, national security with our borders and our coastlines that are unprotected. So the increase in crime rate that we're having right now, you know, so that's a plethora of things to talk about. So you can pick and choose where you want to start and what you'd like to talk about, and we'll just talk about them until we run out of time.
Okay.
And include
us
all, Pastor Barmer. Include all of us in the discussion. You know, this is not where you have to carry it on. This is supposed to be a Bible study dialogue, and you're getting the people involved and engaged as well. So.
Okay. Well, thank you. Well, first of all, I just want to say that, number one, I am by no stretch of the imagination an expert in security in the majority of the areas that you mentioned. My area of expertise really lies in a very narrow scope or very narrow area, which is church security and policing. As far as cybersecurity and some of the intellectual security issues that you mentioned, I think for the most part, as a believer or just any ordinary citizen, it would be beneficial just to be wise in protecting your passwords, that type of thing. But that's not my area of expertise. I would much rather have a discussion on something that, for the most part, kind of flew under the radar in 2021. And one of the things that I have been involved in heavily since I retired from the police department in May of 2014. After 28 years in law enforcement, the entire time I was on the department, I was a believer. I've known Bishop Snoddy now for well over 30 years, and we served in ministry when we were both young in our 20s and 30s, and so he can attest to the fact that I've been doing security now for quite some time. And so one of the things that I think that the church needs to be aware of and consider in 2022 is how to protect itself from. Something that kind of went under the radar, and that's assaults on churches and members of the church in a very physical way. Church shootings. I'm quite sure that people still remember the Sutherland shooting in Texas and some of the other shootings in Ocala, Florida. We actually had a church shooting in January of 2021 that went under the radar, went unnoticed. And so that's one of the things that I want to bring to the forefront of the discussion, because the pandemic seems to have occupied and fully taken over our focus literally for the last 2.5 to 3 years. So I just kind of want to put it out there. What do we do about all the church shootings that have taken place over the last few years? And how members and churches and pastors and leaders and deacons and lay members, how are we addressing these issues? Because that problem is not going to go away. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. It really does.
It makes a lot of sense.
So I have so what are the first steps that we look at, you know, because I know in many of our churches, we have security in the parking lots during the service itself. So I'm sure you have a plethora of ideas as it relates to that.
I do. I actually do have a training program that I put on. I developed it when I was on the department, and the Lord led me to do that, and it carried over once I retired. And to my surprise, over the last few years is, you know, I know a lot of larger churches, and when I say larger churches, I'm talking, you know, churches that are over 1,000 members. For the most part, they're conscious enough to have some measure of security in place. But if you look at normative churches, and when I say normative churches, I'm talking churches that are, you know, 100 members or fewer, or that those churches that are, you know, 150 to 700. Right up in that area. A lot of churches throughout, at least the state of California, quite a few of the churches in the South, up in all over the South, and then back east really don't have adequate measures in place. And so the question is, you know, with this advent of mental health, because that's a major issue in our country today, and particularly in the church, with homeless people, with that issue that's out there, churches are being assaulted more frequently than we know of. And so I think there needs to be some type of consideration and measures put in place so that, number one, we protect the man or woman of God and the people of God. And that's literally, if you look at the scriptures, that's what the position of an armor bearer really is all about. It's protecting the man or woman of God and the people of God. And if you look at the scriptures, an armor bearer had to be just as proficient with his weapon as the king that he was protecting. And so in our context, in the church context of the day, those who are protecting the man of God or the woman of God really need to be, number one, spiritually on point and able to really demonstrate that they're walking with the Lord. They love the Lord. They love God's word. They love God's people, and they're in the service of the Lord. And then number two, really have that mindset that they want to help the body of Christ by providing that layer of protection that is needed. Does that make sense?
It does. And if you hear a low, we're writing.
Okay, I'm sorry.
So is the mindset to provide the protection for the body of Christ, okay? It's got to be their calling, so to speak.
It really does. It really does. I wish I could go through the entire program that I have, but it's quite extensive. But I'll try to share just a few talking points from that. But that can also navigate over into other areas of secure. I really like your topic, how to be more secure in 2022. Security is a very broad topic, and so. When you talk about security, most people think of right off the top of their head, okay, when you talk about security, you're talking about safety. But there's another level of security that I think someone mentioned it earlier. It's really security of the believer. You know, how secure, is the believer, knowing who Christ is, and are you fully convinced that Jesus is Lord? And if so, are you living as though you believe that Jesus is Lord, the security of the believer? Particularly, once again, we're in this pandemic, and I found, and I'm sure you have as well, that the greatest fear that most church members have today is really this pandemic and being around others that may be infected by this horrible disease.
Amen. Amen. It is a problem, and people are – and the main problem I've encountered with that, Pastor, is that in dealing with isolation, you know, we have a lot of people who, specifically, I work with people with suicidal ideation. And so the pandemic causes them to have more and more isolation. And so with that, you know, it tends to push people towards the edge. And we have to find ways of community. And I think that kind of ties in even to when we're talking about this new understanding that if, in fact, things change in our country, you know, there are a lot of survivalists who are preparing, and they're called preppers, people
right.
who are putting food away. They're putting preparing, cooking, storing, getting facilities and places to stay, you know, just in case there should be a need to bug out, all these different things that are happening. But as these things are occurring, they have to be concerned as well about how they're going to protect themselves. You know, what are they going to do for their families, how they need to build relationships with people around them. And when I was growing up, that was an easy thing because we had community. So what do we
right.
do now? Because we lack community. We don't even know our neighbors half the time.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I think you hit the nail on the head. I think the key point today is the fact that we do have that lack of community. I call it fellowship. You know, who's your neighbor, you know? Growing up in Philadelphia back in the back in the late 60s, early 70s, we knew everybody who lived on our block. You know, everybody knew one another. We were friends with everybody on the street. We knew each other's parents. And today, it's interesting because 9 times out of 10, depending on where you live, you may not even know the name of your neighbor next door or the person living across your street or behind you. So there's a disconnect. And for me personally, as a believer, it just points to the fact that our society has changed, culture has
yes.
changed, and it's imperative that the church return to its roots. I think our prayer for revival was very much received at the opening of the show. We need to get back to those basic principles that defined and identified those who are truly believers and disciples of Christ. And that is
amen.
And that's a cultural thing. That's going back to those roots where you cared about, you know, demonstrated the compassion of Christ for your neighbor, demonstrated the compassion of Christ for those who are in need and hurting. And today it would be those who have mental issues or substance abuse issues or marital issues or whatever the case may be. We need to go back to that, those roots of the church. We need that type of revival.
Amen. Brother Brian, are you on the line? Brian, are you on the line?
Brian is here.
So, you know, you were talking a little bit about this era before we change and switch streams. Did you have anything you wanted to talk about with, you know, neighbors and building contingency plans and supporting one another? How do you go about that, or what are your recommendations as well?
I do have some to say about that. I'd like to also speak to the specific topic which was brought up about how do we protect people who simply want to go to church, which is a very important aspect to all of this, because as we see society around us filled with people who are non-believers and have hatred for Christ and hatred, therefore, for Christians, I think it's going to be very important for us to consider how to position ourselves to protect people while they're at church. I can cite an example from Saturday. I went to a funeral of a very close friend of mine. The church was packed with about 350 people. There were four pastors who conducted the funeral. My son-in-law, his brother, their brother-in-law, and the pastor of this main church. All those pastors spoke to their congregations over the past few years about security and about the need for pastors and capable and trained people to carry firearms into church and to post themselves in positions where they're not going to hit anybody with friendly fire. They've had meetings about this. And I discovered in the church service on Saturday, there was about 200 people who were carrying firearms.
Wow.
That seems somehow harsh in some ways, but it does two things. It gives people the assurance that no one's going to come in with a gun and wipe out a bunch of people without being met with a wall of steel themselves. So people can have confidence that they're not going to just simply be randomly shot. The second thing it does is this, and these pastors talked about this last week, they're going to start to advertise that their churches are secured and armed, because no one of any right mind at all is going to pick on a church that's ready and armed as opposed to a church which has nothing for defense.
So did you want to just talk, did you have something else you wanted to add to that? You might want to talk a little bit about building the relationship thing, or are you good with that?
I'm done with the church security, physical security issue, but that's how we're doing it here in Maine. The issue about building community is a psychological and practical situation. Over the thousands of years since we were created, men, women, neighbors, community simply relied on each other. At first they had to because their numbers were small. There were many wild animals around, so they built community. People knew what to do to defend each other and to help each other. As time went on, we developed this crazy modern society that we have where people want to be independent. They don't care about their neighbors. As long as they have their house, their car, their job, their television, their food, they're all set. So we've lost the need to know each other, to be willing to collaborate, to work through any differences we might have, whether it be religious or cultural or societal differences. We've lost the desire to knit together for common goals and for the purpose of collaborating. We need to get that back. And we need to get it back with all urgency. It can start within the church. But people have to be willing to stand with their neighbor and talk to their neighbor. They have to be willing to share food, to raise food, to know who's going to do what under different circumstances. And it is an urgent need that is a sleeping giant that will soon become very much in the forefront of people's minds. So why not start it now? We are doing a lot of that here in Maine. I've got to know my nine closest neighbors. They're farmers, they're engineers, they're computer technicians, and I was pleasantly surprised to find out that they're getting ready, and they were receptive to this discussion.
Okay. Thank you so much. Pastor, I had a question. Bishop, I was just going to ask Pastor Bonham if he would respond to something that was being said about the gathering of people and working together. Would that not be in line with what you're teaching people to do, to come together as community, to work together? And then I had the question after that about the firearms. How do people see that? But Pastor Barman, could you address the issue of people working together? Is that a part of your outline and encouragement for people to do in your program?
It is. It absolutely is. And I agree wholeheartedly with my brother from Maine. I think he said it very succinctly that we were created for community. You know, man was created to be in community. If you look at when God created Adam, God made the statement, it is not good for man to be alone. And so he created for Adam a helpmeet. That's community. And so we're created for that. And we've lost that sense of community, particularly in the last 3 years because of this pandemic when we have been isolated and had to stay home and couldn't go to school, couldn't go to work, you couldn't be around other people, you couldn't go to church. And so we've lost that. And to some degree, I hate to say this, but we got comfortable in that. We got comfortable staying home. We got comfortable staying away from one another, but it became it's becoming detrimental to us.
Detrimental.
Because we're not.
Amen.
We're not able to fulfill. Number one, we're missing fellowship, and that's a big part of who the body of Christ is fellowship. And so we do need to come together, work together. I am really big on partnerships as a church and to accomplish God's purpose. I'm very big on seeing where God has worked in the community and joining where God is already at work. And so I've partnered with several entities here in the community for the greater good of the community that we're serving in. Community is very important. And now that we're 2 years into this, we have to find innovative ways, different ways to get back out and connect with one another so that we can go back to being what God designed the church to be.
Amen.
Pastor Barmer, this is Bishop Snoddy.
Yes, sir.
Can you imagine Deacon Howard or Deacon Nunley carrying a gun in the church?
No.
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 That's a private joke. We don't know them.
They're with the Lord. Yeah, they're both with the Lord, but no. But no. To address, and I think Dr. Susie was probably segueing into the discussion about, you know, people carrying guns in the church. Part of the program that I teach is it's imperative that each church go through a selection, just like in the military. You have to go through a selection process in order to get hired on, or to become part of special forces in the military. You have to go through a selection process to see that if you have the aptitude and the things that are necessary, and you fulfill the requirements of what they're looking for as part of your security team. That should not be any different than in the church. One of the things that I've seen is that, you know, you're going to get, you know, all kinds of people who want to carry guns in the church, and they just shouldn't have it. It should be a specific criteria set out for those who are involved in your security team, that they have to meet that criteria, and then they have to be able to show proficiency and aptitude in firearms in order to carry on the church property. Each state is going to be different in their rules and regulations as to who can carry. Florida, for an example, has the I forget the name of the rule, and it came out a few years ago in the tragedy with the death of a young African-American boy there, the Stand Your Ground Law. Well, California doesn't have a Stand Your Ground Law, but they have a thing called the Castle Doctrine, which is very similar to the Stand Your Ground Law in Florida. And so each security member of a church security team needs to understand what that law says so that they can be aware of the parameters in which they're working in. Not everybody that goes to church should be on your church security team. And I make that vividly clear every training session that I go to. Everybody that wants to be on that team does not necessarily qualify to be on that team. And so then that's where you kind of mitigate the problem of having, you know, 400 guns in your church on a Sunday.
Hello. May I interrupt, please? I'm a listener.
So this is how we do it. Just announce your name and where you're from, and then start talking.
Okay. My name is Yvetta Franklin Thomas. I am from Sacramento, California. And I saw the post on Facebook, and I said, oh, let me jump on.
Okay.
I just want to say, yeah, I want to say, if I may, I don't know the gentleman's name, but he posed an excellent question. What are the pastors, the ministers, the deacons, what are they doing about church shootings? And I don't have the answer, but what was interesting, I'm a retired school teacher. Active shooters always take you by surprise. It's not like you know the culprit is coming. And the question was so profound and powerful. What do we do? You don't know when it's going to happen. And this is such a great discussion, but it has made me so sad. My heart is heavy that we have to bring guns into God's house. We have to be on the watch. It just really made my heart so heavy. But don't get me wrong, it's a good discussion.
Well, Pastor Barmer, would you remember, what's your first name, ma'am?
Yvetta.
Yvetta, oh, beautiful name. But what I was, I think that's an excellent, excellent question. And I was just going to make a statement just when you were saying that is, I pastored a church in Ohio. And this is how different and removed things are. When I pastored a church in Ohio, I had a church member that got mad at me. And she brought a gun in the church. And the police told me to put a little decal on there saying no guns allowed in this property, blah, 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 blah. And now we have gone 360 degrees away from that, and we're telling people to bring guns into the church. And as my sister was saying, so how do we get prepared? How do we know what to do? And I think Pastor Barmer is saying he has a program that he teaches to lay out, to teach people to be ready, to be prepared. Is that right, Pastor Barmer?
That's exactly right. We're not telling the general membership it's okay to bring a gun to church. That's not what we're doing. What we're doing is we're putting aside, and we're going through a selection process of a few key individuals. And each church is going to be different because, obviously, if you're at a smaller church, then your security team is going to be much smaller. If you're at a larger church, you're going to have many more people on that team. And so, but each team has to go through a selection process to vet and make sure and train each individual that serves on that team, because once again, not everybody that goes to your church should be a part of that team. I agree with my sister from Sacramento. It's sad to have, you know, firearms in the house of God. But if you look at over the last and since 1980, it's interesting. Part of the research that I did to develop my program is, you know, everybody was under the assumption that the FBI was tracking all of the shootings. They're tracking all of active shooters in the country, but they weren't tracking church shootings, which is, I thought was very interesting. And so since 1980, there have been more than 250 church shootings in America that most church members are fully unaware of. And so to mitigate that, the church needs to be prepared. Now, how do I settle that as a believer? You know, if you look at the scriptures, you know, there are instances in the scriptures, and the one that I'm particularly thinking of is the book of Nehemiah, when they were rebuilding the wall, and because of the opposition from those that Sanballat and Tobiah had inspired, they were building with a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other. And so if you look at that, it literally lets us know that as believers, we can't be so gullible as to think that the opposition won't attack us, because certainly these church shootings in the last couple of years have proven differently. We need to be prepared for it. But there again, we're not asking general members, hey, you know what, if you have a firearm, bring it to church. That's not what we're saying. What we're saying is, as a pastor, as church leaders, as bishops, as deacons, as leaders in the church, our responsibility is to provide protection for you so that you can come and worship in a safe environment, so that you don't have to worry about, you know, somebody coming in and shooting you and your kids.
But I have a question. This is Dr. Susie. So as it relates to that, because in Indiana, anybody can carry, you know, it used to be that you had to have a permit, but in Maine, anybody can carry. And if you have a carry, you can bring that to church. So there's nothing that's going to prevent just any standard everyday person bringing their weapon to church.
And that's the same as Texas. In California, you actually have to have the pastor's permission to bring a firearm onto the church property. So each state is different. That's why I say, when you have your team set in place, you not only do you need to be trained with your firearms, you definitely need to have legal counsel so that you're fully aware of both the local, state, and federal laws.
Yeah. So as we look at all of this, ultimately, as we have these human methodologies that we're using to be prepared, since we have about 15 minutes left, you know, in spite of what, you know, we have to do everything we can for due diligence. You know, we have to do what we can do to be prepared. However, our best security is in the Lord. And there's some scriptures that I would like us to bring to the table, as we understand that our real security is not in this world, but it's with the Lord. And that we also have to understand that when we fight a battle, the battle is not just what you see visibly. The battle that we're struggling with, the isolation, the separation, the people shooting folks, this is a spiritual battle. And the spiritual battle has to be fought with spiritual means. And so we have to understand the difference between the physical battles that are taking place and the spiritual ones, and know which armor we need to be using for which one.
Right.
So we have to be ready in and out of season. And we got to understand, and I'm not just talking about preaching the word. I'm talking about being ready for people who are coming in that are being used by the enemy. So we have to be aware of the principalities and wickedness in high places, and understand that their job is to steal, kill, and destroy. So because we know that, we put on our armor every day. We don't take it off, and we operate in the battle armor that we have, And we utilize the gifts that tells us that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, because we keep on our armor and we operate in prayer, and we are ready mentally. We're always prepared for warfare and being able to see it. And I think that's probably a part of what Pastor Barmer's program is, teaching those people how to be aware, security, to be aware and to things to look for and things to prepare for. So if we could look at some of the things that the Word of God teaches us about being ready and being prepared. Do you want to start off with your favorite ones, Pastor Mama? Would you like us to? Either way, it's fine.
If you want to start, go right ahead.
Bishop, did you want to start with one?
Well, the Psalm 91,
the one Margaret read.
The one that Margaret read. We're going to abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And when we talk about the shadow of the Almighty, if you're under the shadow of someone, that means what? That you are close to them. When you're under the shadow of the Almighty, that means you're walking with him. And even when it seems to be dark, you might be under the shadow of the Almighty, and he's protecting you, and he will cover you. There's no better security to be in the presence of God under his shadow. Amen? And
amen.
So when we're talking about closeness with God, to draw closer to him, Dr. Susie, Pastor Barmer, and the audience, I think one of the things in our security with God is to, as that old song said, have a closer walk with God. Not just on Sunday morning.
Amen.
Amen.
Not just, you know, the only time you're praying is at the dinner table. Some of us don't even do that no more. But to have a healthy prayer life, a healthy scripture life, reading and studying and letting God speak to you, when you're that close to him under his shadow, that is one of the best places to be, the safest place in the whole wide world. Is in the will of God and in his presence.
Amen. Can I just piggyback off what you just said, Bishop?
Come on, Pastor.
In order to be where you just said, you really have to be in pursuit of God.
Come on,
and
God.
I think for today, because of this pandemic, what we've seen, and it's biblical, it's in the scriptures. The Bible says in the last days there'll be a great falling away, the love of many shall wax cold. We're seeing those who profess to have been, you know, believers literally falling away from the Lord, falling away from the church, and those who are true disciples of Christ still in active pursuit of the Lord. And they're doing those things that you just talked about. Daily Bible engagement, a healthy prayer life, really engaging in prayer and seeking the Lord. That's what it's going to take if we're going to ensure the security of the believer.
Amen. And what I like
Amen.
About that, I'm going to piggyback off of the pastor as well. I like the translation that says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High." And
oh, yeah.
The secret place means that God has a secret place all of his own, a place that we live in, those who, as he says, seek him, because we have a relationship. And if you got a relationship with God, then God's got a special place of protection for you, a place that we live in, a place that we abide in, a place that we stay in, a place that God's people are protected in.
Come on, God.
You know, that's why I like the idea and the shadow and understanding of the eagle. You know, when it talks about how we can mount up, all of this is an understanding that we are under the control and the shadow of the Almighty, the protection, the comfort, and the care of our Lord and Savior. And so as long as we know that, as long as we have that relationship, as long as we are seeking God, as long as we're standing God's word, as long as we're trying to live the way that God would have us, we have that place. Come on.
Come on.
That nobody else
Come on,
has.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, Margaret, I heard you saying something. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just, I looked up the verses that I found in the Concordance describing God's love, and that is a comfort to me. That is something that I cling to, and the verses which describe Almighty God's love for us and how he cares for us can give confidence. And so, for example, Exodus 20, it starts out with verse 5, that you must not bow down to them or worship idols, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for any other gods. I lay the sins of the parents upon their children. The entire family is affected, even children in the third and fourth generations of those who reject me. But I lavish unfailing love for 1,000 generations on those who love me and obey my commands.
Amen. And it's not just in obeying the commands, it's trusting in him. And that second verse that says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. Those that love God, those that are his own, he becomes the refuge. He becomes a fortress. And guess what? He will hold them up with his righteous right hand. And I think that's awesome because he says he saves them. And that's what's so excited about, it makes me excited about, when we're in enmity, those of us who, those people who are out there that haven't made the decision to accept the Lord, even while you're in enmity as enemies of God, he's still lifting his hand out for you, saying how much he loves you. And all you have to do is come into the fold and accept his love, accept what he has to offer for you so that you too can be in the secret place, so that you too, when you're struggling with security issues in 2022, can know that you got a God who can protect you against any and everything. Oh, yes,
that's
he's
right.
able.
That's right. You know, one
Dr.
of my favorite
Sophie.
Scriptures is in Isaiah 43:3, and it really helps to those who are struggling with the idea that Jesus is really God. You know, they don't believe in the deity of the Lord. Isaiah 43 really lets us know that Jesus is God, because and Isaiah says, "For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." But if you turn over to John chapter 10, Jesus just literally tells the world that he is the God who protects us. He's the one who saves us. He's the one that gives us eternal life. And if it were not for him, we would still be lost in our sins. And so John 10:27. Says this, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father has given them to me is greater than all and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. What a powerful verse to let us know that there's no greater security in the world than to know that you are in the hands of a Savior who died on the cross for you. He loved you and gave you eternal life. So, you know, how do I correlate that with the church? In church security, you know, we're in the church, we're in the body of Christ. But listen, I learned even as a police officer, and this may be hard to hear and even harder to accept, but even police officers don't have the power of life and death. That is only reserved for a holy and righteous God. We may be the vehicle by which death comes, but death is not in our hands. That belongs to God. And I say that from experience because I've seen more than one occasion people who have been mortally wounded and should have been dead, but because God said, no, it's not your time, they're still here. And if you flip that coin over, I've seen people were dead and for no logical reason. They shouldn't be dead, but they're dead.
Yeah.
Life and death belong to God and God alone.
Amen. Amen.
We have to kind of refrain from saying amen and not saying amen, but waiting till after he says it because the transcribers have a hard time translating when we say too many repetitive things all upon each other. So we got to watch that. Else they won't be able to translate in the 32 different languages that this is being translated in. So God's blessings be with us as we go forward. This is an awesome, awesome Bible study. And I'm so excited, Pastor Barmer. This is really urgent and relevant information for us today. And so as we go forward and understand this, you know, where do we go from here? Here we are. We've got this word of God. He's telling us that that if we stay under God's wings, we'll have that refuge. But that's the issue. We have to understand that we have to be under the secure care of the Lord. And being mm-hmm. under that secure care is accepting him as Lord and Savior, that he is the mm-hmm. way, the truth, and the life. And if we don't understand mm-hmm. that, we won't be protected.
Mm-hmm.
And the time is coming. The very thing we're looking for is the end time. That's what we've been talking about. The end times are here. The Antichrist is coming. The end of days is coming. We have to be under the protection of our Lord and Savior. And if you have not made that decision, I encourage you, I implore you, make that decision tonight as we offer you before the service is over an extended invitation to the Lord. So anybody else have anything they want to contribute? And Pastor
Chaplain
Barmer, is there anything you want to just go ahead?
Chaplain Susan.
Yes, and Dr. Susan, go ahead. Go ahead.
Who?
You, Edith.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Sorry. Well, every time I started to say someone else did, so I wondered who you were talking to. Could the scriptures that were brought forth, I got Exodus 25 something, and then Isaiah 43, but I never got the other part of it. Could that be repeated, please?
Yes, the scripture verse was Isaiah 43, verse 3.
43, verse 3.
Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Miss Edith. Brother Mateo, are you on the line? Okay, he said he wanted to talk, so we were going to let him have a moment. So, Bishop, go ahead. Did you have anything that you wanted to bring forth? Brother Brian, are you on the line? Go ahead, Bishop.
Yes, in Romans 8:38, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, if that doesn't give you some security.
Mm-hmm.
Paul said, I'm persuaded, and Paul went through a whole bunch, did he not, Pastor Barmer?
Yes, he did.
For him to get that, for that persuasion, for him to be that persuaded, he has some evidence-based persuasion.
Yes.
Amen, amen. And to highlight Psalm 91, verse 9, it says, if you make the Most High your dwelling,
come on,
even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you, no disaster will come near your tent, for God will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It's a good thing to be secure in him. And we have to have our faith that we are secure in him, not just a wish or a whim, but this calls for a relationship with him for that security.
Absolutely. Not only do we understand that we have security in him, but that security gives us the confidence that even in the midst of a pandemic, even in the midst of a rash of church shootings, that God is still our protector and that he still loves us, we still have everlasting life because we have faith in him. And no matter what happens, God is in complete and full control. And that's not, you know, blind faith. That's trusting that God will do just what he says he'll do, and he'll protect us from evil. Now, whether God takes us out of here and brings us home to be with him, Paul said, look, when I'm absent from the body, I'm present with the Lord. And so praise God for being present with the Lord. There's a phenomenal man of God, just went home to be with the Lord a week ago. No underlying medical issues, health issues, died of COVID-19 within 24 hours. And so we know where he is. He's with the Lord. And so we rejoice in the fact that he is with the Lord. We'll miss him dearly. You know, his physical presence will be missed, but we know that we're going to see him again because of the fact that he trusted the God of his salvation, and we're trusting in that same God, that same individual who died on the cross. And so security is you know, our topic tonight was security, but there's so many facets to it that we really need to understand. And I think, Dr. Susie, you said it most. I think once we run those issues of security through the lens of Scripture, we'll know that our trust and faith need to be resting in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And
amen.
This is Margaret. I had one more thing to say, that according to Ephesians chapter 6:18, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. And that way, we can, as we continue to lean upon the Lord, we can seek direction in prayer to influence our timing of our spatial placement, of our step, our walk, and his will, his direction will be available to us on a moment-to-moment basis.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Is there anyone else who wanted to have questions? Is there anyone else on the line? Veda, you have any more questions? Anybody else? Bishop?
Well, ma'am, I want you to know that Pastor Barmer and I, we call each other brother. This is my brother. We were basically kids. We got born again around about the same time. We received our call to the ministry at the same time, just about around about the same time. And I've seen this brother grow. Now, what he's too humble to tell you is he's an amazing musician and he's an amazing singer and is one of the funniest human beings that I've ever met on the face of this earth. I didn't mean to tell it all, Reverend. But this is my dear friend. This is my brother. And if I've ever seen a more solid individual who loves the Lord, who loves his wife, who loves his babies, and who loves his grandbabies, this is an example of a man of God, a loyal friend. And when he was serving for how many years at Victory Christian, Victory Baptist Church, did you serve?
Oh, it was over 27 years.
Yeah, almost three decades. This man,
that's awesome.
Is a man of God.
So our focus is we want to thank Bishop, you're on it. We want to thank Pastor Barner for all of the awesome things he's done, and thank you for your service to the community as well. But since you brought it up, Bishop, are you going to talk him into singing a song for us?
Dr. Susie, my friend,
don't get me in trouble with my brother.
We won't mess with you, but
not
what we will ask you to do.
Don't you ever ask me to come on television again. But, no. The thing is this brother loved God, and God has used him and is using him. So we want you all that are listening to please pray for this pastor and those that are surrounding him.
Bless your heart.
He walks the walk and talks the talk.
So at this point in time, what we want to do, we want to thank Pastor Barmer for coming. We want to thank those of you who are on the Bible study in the panel. But most of all, we want to take a second. We thank the Lord. But we want to extend the invitation. Pastor Barmer, would you like to extend the invitation to our radio audience? And then afterwards, I will come back on.
I certainly will. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time together. And we thank you, O God, for your grace and for your mercy. And if there's anyone that's listening to this radio station tonight, Heavenly Father, who has never expressed faith in Jesus alone, I pray, Heavenly Father, that by the time I finish this prayer, that they would identify themselves and say, Lord, I want to believe. I want to trust in you. I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior because of what I've heard tonight. I want to know that I am secure in Christ, that heaven is my home because of the atoning death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus as my Lord. And so, Father, we thank you. I pray, Heavenly Father, that those individuals whose hearts have been moved would act immediately. Tomorrow's not promised to us, and the Bible says that in the day that you hear my voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation. Lord, today your voice was heard through the scriptures, through the many people that were on this panel, the many people that chimed in. I pray, Heavenly Father, that the Spirit of the living God would just touch the heart of that one individual, as many individuals, Heavenly Father, that need to come to Christ, that they would identify themselves tonight, Heavenly Father, and we'll pray with them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. If you have heard that prayer, said that prayer, Christ has come into your heart, then we receive you as part of the family of God. We're so excited for you. Feel free to call in and share with the Spirit of Light Network community. Call in to 714-364-4337 and let us know that God has blessed you and you've accepted his fellowship. Now, what we also want to say to you is that we encourage you to get in the Bible-believing church. Become active in a church that's teaching the Word of God, and then remain with us in Love Connection at Spirit Alive Network. From this point on, we have young people who are in the studio right now, and Bishop is in the studio, and she's controlling the studio. If you have any questions, please feel free to speak now. Bishop, you want to let them in so they can have a few questions they'd like to ask us?
Young people, excuse me. All right, my baby's in the chat room. I have a cold. First of all, excuse me, I have a cold. But if you darlings have a comment or questions, you can call in, as she said, at 714-364-4337, or you can type your comment or question at this time, and I will relay it to the panel for you, okay? All right, beloved, thank you. Okay, if you are in the studio and via phone and you would like to make a comment or question, please press your 1 at this time, and I will address you by your area code and the last 4 digits of your phone number. Amen. Hallelujah. And while I wait to see if anyone does so, I'd just like to say to you, Dr. Susie, and to your panel, you did a phenomenal job. I praise God for all the servant leaders that were present and for God's elect. This was a very timely Bible study, so I want to thank you all for taking time out of your busy schedule to join Dr. Susie and myself here on the Spirit Alive Network. Dr. Susie, I'm going to turn your program back over to you.
I guess there were no questions. And since there were no questions tonight,
no.
We are trusting that the young people, if you all have questions later on and you want to ask Bishop, feel free to leave questions with her, and we will we'll address them at the beginning of our next session. But as we go forward, we want to tell everybody that next week we will be having our second Bible study on Monday. And the title of what we're going to be focusing on is, does anybody remember it? I know it. Does anybody else remember it? Margaret, you guess?
Preparing like the ant on.
Yes, yes, exactly it. It's preparing.
January?
Yes, it is. We'll be talking about preparing like the ant, the Proverbs ant. And, you know, times are coming where we need to be ready. We need to be working as a team and figuring out how we're going to handle things if we have emergencies, if we have challenges. How do we work together and be prepared like the ant? So we'll be talking about that on Monday, January the 24th. And we want to thank everybody, Pastor Barmer. Is there anything that you could share with us, a web page or a contact number for anyone who would like to find more out about your program that you've set up?
Yeah, if you're interested in church security, you can actually email me at bbarmer3944@gmail.com, and I'll respond to you.
Is there a website?
It's bbarmer3944@gmail.com.
Do you
All
have
right
a website,
then.
Pastor?
No, there's not a website.
Okay.
Well, we thank you so much for joining us tonight. And we'll be here every second and fourth Mondays. And we will be focusing on the Spirit Alive Network and Your Place Love Connection Bible Study as we study to make sure that we are all ready when He calls. God's blessings be with you.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. Amen.
Amen. You have been listening to the Love Connection Bible Study with Dr. Susie. We are so glad that you have all joined us here tonight. Hallelujah. And we just pray that you continue to have a beautiful and blessed week, that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do. And from our household to yours, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night, and God bless you from all of us here at the Spirit Alive Network. Good night, everybody. You did a beautiful job. God bless you.